Let's turn to markets, because the signals this week paint a specific and somewhat concerning picture. The 30-year Treasury auction drew the highest yield since 2007. We're talking about the U.S. government paying more to borrow money for 3 decades than it has in nearly 20 years. That's not a one-day anomaly. It reflects persistent investor demand for higher compensation to hold long-dated government debt.
The 30-year mortgage rate hit a 2026 high of 6.49%, according to Freddie Mac's weekly survey, up from 6.43% the prior week. For context, at 6.49%, the monthly payment on a $400,000 mortgage is roughly $2,520, compared to about $1,700 at the 3% rates that prevailed in 2021. That's nearly $10,000 more per year in carrying costs on a mid-range home. The housing market is effectively frozen for a large segment of potential buyers, which has cascading effects on construction employment, household formation, and consumer spending.
Bloomberg published a warning this week that governments globally face a debt crisis with no obvious backstop. The argument is essentially that central banks, which served as the lender of last resort during the 2008 financial crisis and the COVID shock, have limited capacity to perform that function in an environment where inflation is still persistent and rates are still elevated. If a sovereign debt stress event occurs, the traditional playbook isn't available in the same way.
Meta's situation illustrates the investor anxiety around AI spending in a different way. The company's shares fell on news of a $145 billion AI spending plan. $145 billion. Meta's shareholders are essentially being asked to trust that hyperscale investment in AI infrastructure will eventually generate returns that justify the capital outlay. And after several years of hearing that argument for cloud, metaverse, and now AI, some investors are applying significantly more skepticism.
The food price-fixing crackdown is both a market story and a consumer story. Federal investigators are widening their inquiry across the meat and egg industries, which means we may be getting legal confirmation for what many economists suspected, that concentrated market power in food production enabled producers to coordinate pricing in ways that hurt consumers. This is where antitrust enforcement intersects with kitchen table economics.
Speaking of which, Marcus, this might be a good moment to explain a bit about how antitrust law actually works, because price-fixing crackdown is a phrase that gets used a lot without much explanation of what the legal standard actually requires.
Worth doing. So the foundation of U.S. antitrust law is the Sherman Act, passed in 1890. Section 1 of the Sherman Act prohibits contracts, combinations, or conspiracies in restraint of trade. That's where price-fixing lives. Section 2 addresses monopolization, which is different. When people hear antitrust, they often think monopoly, but the food pricing cases are mostly Sherman Act Section 1 cases. They're about coordination between competitors, not about any single company being too big. Here's the key distinction that trips people up. Being big is not illegal. Having a large market share is not illegal. Amazon, for example, holds a dominant position in e-commerce, but dominance alone doesn't make you a Sherman Act violator. What matters under Section 2 is whether you acquired or maintained that dominance through exclusionary conduct rather than through superior products or competition on the merits. The classic analogy is, if you make a better mousetrap and half the country buys it, that's fine. If you make a worse mousetrap and use contracts to prevent competitors from getting shelf space, that's where the law steps in. For the meat and egg producers, investigators are looking at Section 1. Did competitors communicate and agree, explicitly or implicitly, to fix prices? That's the conduct that's illegal, regardless of market share.
And the Amazon shipping story connects here, too. Amazon is undercutting FedEx and UPS with lower shipping rates. Whether that eventually draws antitrust scrutiny depends on whether the pricing is predatory, meaning designed to drive competitors out of the market and then raise prices, or whether it simply reflects Amazon's logistical scale advantages. The distinction matters enormously in court.
Trump's financial disclosure, revealing millions in defense stocks amid the Iran policy push, is the kind of story that generates conflict of interest questions regardless of party. When an executive branch is making decisions about military engagements, and the decision maker holds significant positions in defense contractors, the optics create accountability questions that oversight bodies need to address.